Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is God's word. The church always has a buzzword that's kind of in vogue. For example, there are times when the church is really striving to be relevant or to be missional, mission-minded. Or how about the word inclusive? That's kind of the name of the game all throughout the culture today. To be inclusive, to include everyone. And there are people who say that's the most important thing, that the church is a place that's inclusive. And it's easy to understand why people feel that way. Because God's word talks about his desire to bring everyone into his kingdom. The most famous Bible verse of all time says, God so loved the world. Or that Great Commission text at the end of Matthew 28, go make disciples of all nations. Or even today in our Holy Gospel from John 10, Jesus the Good Shepherd who says, I have sheep, other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also. The message of the gospel is for everyone. And that includes everyone under the sun, the whole world. And yet, while God intends for this gospel to include everyone as someone who receives his love, his care, and his compassion, that same word makes very exclusive claims. That same verse that says that God so loved the world, it also says that he sent his son that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. It does not say everyone will have eternal life, but those who believe in his son given for the world. That famous verse about the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations, it happens in a very specific way, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe, Jesus says, all that I have commanded you. Disciples of Jesus Christ are those who are baptized and taught to observe all that Jesus commanded, not just picking and choosing the stuff we like. And even today in our Holy Gospel, Jesus speaks of his desire to bring everyone into his flock where he is the good shepherd. But he says that those that he calls to that flock, they listen to his voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Being one of the sheep of the good shepherd means that you listen to his voice, not to the voices of the hired hands out there who Jesus says care nothing for the sheep. You see, this Christian faith of ours is both inclusive and exclusive. It's meant for all people everywhere, but it makes very exclusive claims. In our first reading today, we encounter Peter and John, witnesses of the resurrected Christ. Peter and John were also witnesses of Jesus' ascension into heaven. And it was at that ascension where Jesus said to Peter and John and the rest of the disciples, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It was an inclusive message that Jesus gave to his apostles, to take this gospel to the very ends of the earth. And that's exactly what they did. They brought the message to all. They preached. They healed the sick in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. They preached there, beginning in Jerusalem. And as Jesus said they would, that message would spread from Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. But the message they proclaimed was clear. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. They preached that salvation is found only in Jesus Christ. Salvation is found only in the one who died upon the cross and rose victorious on the third day. Salvation is found only where there is a Savior for sin. So after healing a man, preaching the gospel, and being thrown into prison, Peter and John are brought out among the leaders of the Jewish people to be interrogated about their ministry. And Peter says in our first reading, "Let it be known to you, to all of you, to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That was the exclusive message that the apostles delivered to the world, that salvation is found only in Jesus Christ, the one crucified and risen from the grave. There are all sorts of buzzwords that come and go in the church. Words like inclusive, or seeker-friendly, or mission-minded, or relevant. And there's some merit, at least a little bit, to all of those words. But a better goal for the church is to be apostolic, following in the apostles who came before us. Or you know what? I'll give you an even better word. Catholic. I'm not talking Roman Catholic. I'm talking about the true sense of the word Catholic, referring to that which has been throughout all time. That which applied to the apostles and those who came after them. That which has been true throughout the history of the church. We as the people of God should be apostolic and Catholic, holding to that to which Jesus gave our apostles. If we can't say without certainty and conviction that Jesus didn't give it to his apostles to be proclaimed, then we have no business speaking it and no business believing it. I tell people in our Bible studies all the time that you should never, ever hear anything new in church. You should never... I hear you, Judy. Should never hear anything new or novel or anything like, wow, that's never been said before. Maybe you haven't heard it. Maybe you've never heard it presented to you. But it ought to be true and evident throughout the pages of the history of the church. There's nothing new or creative about the Word of God. It's very old. It's timeless. Because it's the Word that Jesus gave to his apostles. Now, we don't believe something simply because it's always been taught that way. We believe it because it's biblical. There's something to be said about something that's been taught throughout the pages of history of the church. Something that we can look back on those who lived shortly after the time of Peter and John and say, that's what they did as well. For example, they taught that we baptize little ones because it gives faith. They taught that this bread and wine is the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. They taught that God is indeed the creator of the world, who created it in 6 24-hour days. They taught all sorts of things that the church has largely rejected today. For example, that God lets you kind of believe what you want to believe. God has no problem with homosexuality. This world's just a product of evolution and chance. No, we confess what the church has always confessed. What Jesus gave to his apostles. Nothing new, nothing innovative, nothing creative. Our faith is old, ancient, timeless. And God saves people through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. He saved the people of the Old Testament by the promise of that death and resurrection. And he saves us through the fulfillment of that death and resurrection. That is the word Peter and John proclaimed. And that's the word we continue to proclaim and hear and believe today. This good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep is the only shepherd. He's the only one who delivers us from the jaws of Satan's wolves that prowl around this world. He is the only one who lays down his life to take it up again. The only one with power over death and the grave. And that, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is a very exclusive claim. That was a claim for which the apostles were willing to die. And nearly all of them did die for it. They didn't fear the executioner. They didn't fear the taunts and jeers of the crowd. They confessed the good shepherd as the only shepherd of the sheep. This Jesus, Peter said, is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. Admit it. We don't like exclusive talk. God's word speaks to us in black and white. Might seem gray to us because of our sin-clouded minds and sin-clouded judgment. So we chafe against that word. That word says unequivocally that you are dead in your sins. You can't excuse your greed or your lust or the wicked words you speak against your neighbor. You can't twist God's word to excuse your evil thoughts, words, and deeds. The same call that the apostles spoke to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The same call that has been spoken throughout the history of the church is the same call to you today. Repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from the evil that rots your heart from within. Turn and hear the voice of your good shepherd who calls to you today. He says, I've laid down my life for you. All of this sin that you have, he says, I've paid it in full. He says that in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's all forgiven, wiped away. King David, the first shepherd king who foreshadowed our good shepherd and King Jesus, he says in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Or likewise, David saying in Psalm 23, our intro it for this morning, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Martin Luther writes in our Lutheran Confessions a little quote that I've always loved because it so simply describes what the church is. Luther says, thank God, a 7-year-old child knows what the church is, namely, the holy believers and lambs who hear the voice of their shepherd. That's what the church is. Hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean that hearing Jesus is somehow thinking, well, Jesus is going to speak to you in your dreams, or that he's going to upload some mystical vision into your mind, or that he's going to cause your stomach to flutter in some way to let you know that he's there. What did the apostles do? Our first reading tells us they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They preached Jesus dead and risen, the one in whose name salvation is found. And you know, that's what I have the profound pleasure to proclaim to you today, that your Savior, your Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, he is risen from the dead. He has defeated death. He has conquered sin. And he lives so that you will live. He lays down his life to take it up again. What a wonderfully exclusive and yet inclusive message. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is the only shepherd. And he is your shepherd. Because this good shepherd is for all who hear his voice and come to him. And so I invite you, come to him today. Come to him with your guilt and your shame and your sorrow, your weakness. And receive from your shepherd the care that he and he alone can offer. It's not a new word or a relevant word or a missional word. That is the word. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for you. And he calls to you this morning to hear him and know his love that surpasses all. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand.